Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. You may open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking at the first three verses there in Hebrews chapter 11, the first three verses. Talking about faith this morning. We sang about the faithfulness of God, and now it's our turn. Talking about our faith this morning. Verse 1 here of Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We're going to look again at these first three verses from Hebrews. It's a little fitting. Luke spent some time last week in Hebrews 10, and I was reminded there of Hebrews 11, and then the events of this past week with the laying to rest of our dear sister in the faith. I was reminded again in real ways of true faith. So I thought it would be fitting for us to look at faith again. That's just the title, faith. That's it. The beginning here of verse 1 again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance. Really? A substance is something that you can hold in your hand. Something that has substance typically is a solid. Most often it's a tangible object that has substance, something touchable. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the solid, the thing that you can touch, the grippable part of hope. Did you see that? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And hope is good. And there are many biblical studies that can be made of hope, and I preached on hope not too long ago. But here we find the word hope helping us to define what faith is. And faith is so much more than just hoping. Again, faith is the tangible aspect of hope. What does this mean? How can I describe the substance of faith? And so I use this illustration. If you remember it, you're pretty good because I used it 5 years ago. But this was an illustration when I spoke on faith. There once was a little boy who waited for his dad to come home. And every day he would sit on an upside-down bucket on his porch and wait for his dad to come home from work. Other little boys would play in the backyard and are on their swing sets, and maybe they'd play with their matchbox cars on the floor inside. But this little boy waited for his dad to come home, sitting on the bucket on the porch. He did this every evening. This little boy did not want to be distracted with playing and miss the first sight of his dad's truck coming down the road. The neighbors even noticed that this little boy sat on his bucket. And one neighbor even asked him, "Why does he sit on your bucket? Why do you sit on your bucket every night?" And he told him, "I was waiting for my dad to come home from work." And the neighbor said with a wink, "How do you know that he's going to come home tonight? Maybe he has a meeting." And the boy said, "Sometimes I sit longer, and sometimes I sit shorter, but my dad always comes home." All the little boys hoped their dads come home. But I present to you that this little boy who sat on his bucket had faith that his dad would come home. His actions showed that his hope was deeper than just a feeling, more than a wish. This little boy's hope was so tangible that it became faith. A faith that was noticed by his neighbors. See, all of us have hope. Even the world has hope, right? I think if we would ask anyone on the street, you know, do you have hope? And they would say, "Well, sure, I hope." I mean, they would even say, "Yes, I hope there's eternal life." They would hope that. But do you have the faith that makes your hope real so that the world notices Does your hope have substance so much so that your neighbors recognize your hope and they call it faith? Faith is a deeply grounded and unshakable hope from inside our own hearts that reveals itself on our outsides through our actions and through our words. We'll come back to that statement. But continuing on here in the next little bit of verses here from Hebrews, it says, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. There's a big difference between hope and faith in the deer woods too, you know? If you just hope to see a deer, it's hard to get up early in the morning and climb up a tree and sit in the cold breeze if that's all it is. You just kind of hope one might come past you. But if you have the faith that a deer is going to come out past your stand, it's much easier to get up in the morning. It's much easier to sit in the cold breeze and to wait in the dark for the sunrise. If you have faith beyond just hope, it's much easier to sit still and wait for that deer to come by. Although I did find out that some guys here like to go to deer camp, and they like to get up for breakfast, and they like to get dressed, and they go out the door with everyone else, and as soon as it's dark, they're out the door, they like to turn around and go back to bed. That guy might be here this morning. As far as hunters go, we kind of call that hopeless. But back to scripture here. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So in what ways do you express your faith as something that is not seen? Again, I said some guys climb a tree for a deer even though they can't see it coming. That usually takes more faith than just hoping in the dark. Some guys buy stocks or Bitcoin. That takes faith too. They act on their hope, taking it to a level of putting some monetary faith in those investments. Some folks put a little faith in silver and gold. And yes, you can see those assets, and yes, they're tangible, but everyone joins in that with the faith that their holdings will grow. What else do you express your faith into something that you can't see? Let me stretch your minds a little bit. How about education? You can't see that. And yet quite a few of us here put a goodly amount of our monies towards Christian education or higher education because we have faith that it will make a difference. We all here to some extent or another move from faith, from hope to faith in how we live our lives. We move from hope to faith. And I'm not saying it's okay to go hunting. And I'm not recommending to invest in silver and gold, and I'm not telling you how to educate your children. But my question is, what does your faith, which is, again, your tangible part of your hope, produce? What is the byproduct of your faith? You have hope, and so you act on it, and it becomes faith. And your life changes because you are living and acting according to your faith. Be it in hunting or investing or education, it changes you. The question is, how does your faith affect or change your life? Brothers and sisters, that changed life is called your testimony. Your hope builds to a faith, and it affects how you live. And your lived life is your testimony. Christ's testimony to each of us here is that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. When we believe this, it becomes our faith. And our belief in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And our testimony to the world is through our fleshed out faith. Which, again, comes from our words and comes from our actions. This also is evidence of things not seen from verse 1, if you think about it. Did you catch that? Part of the evidence of faith is you and your testimony. Let me cue you in a little bit. The world does not see God. They don't see him. The world can only see you. I had an exercise with the youth group a few weeks ago on a nice warm evening, and we sat outside, and the instruction was, where do you see God? And God was seen in the trees and in the grass and in the sun and in the rising little sliver of a moon, and God was seen. And brothers and sisters, when we have faith, we can see God. He is all around us. And we see him in the trees. And we see him in his wonderful creation. And we see him in other folks as we interact with him. But the world does not see God. They only see you. And truly, before most of us here made our own confession of faith, we saw what God looked like through someone else, right? It's rare that you're walking along and you see a tree and you're like, oh, God. If you had no experience with God before, it is more true that you walk along and you see someone being kind. You see someone caring for someone and you're like, whoa, there must be something different about that person. We see God through people first, typically. Who was it? How did you see God first? Was it your parents? Was it your Sunday school teacher? Was it your uncle? Maybe it was your Sunday school teacher. Was it a brother or a sister or your aunt? Typically, somewhere you met a Christian, and by their testimony, you were convinced that Christ died for you as well. That is most often how it works. Faith is not only the evidence of things not seen, but faith is also the evidence seen in another person's life in their testimony. This is their testimony. And most of us here were affected by someone else's testimony. And it's very fitting that verse 2 says, For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. The elders, as referred here, are to those who have died in Christ. But it is our turn to live now. It's our turn to live now. Do not let the flame of Christ grow dim in your generation, in our generation. We each have but a few years to pass on the torch of Christ and his love to the next generation. Brothers and sisters, this is the one thing that lasts forever. And sadly, it's not you. It is not me. I've shared this before, but it's still kind of humbling. As I look back on my ancestry, my great-great-great-great-grandfather, I don't know his name. Doesn't take long until you're forgotten. Even inheritance rarely makes the fourth generation. Probably never. Even a mountain ground or a cabin, does that ever make four generations? That's pretty rare. Usually gets sold up or divided. Doesn't take that long. Four generations. What lasts? What's eternal? Faith in God, your testimony, sharing Christ with the next generation. Brothers and sisters, that is it. There's nothing else that you do here that is eternal except to pass your faith on. Your faith is the only thing that will truly last eternally. Your testimony for Christ is the only thing and the only lasting inheritance that you can give anyone. And your testimony begins with faith. In verse 3 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And so, as I ponder that verse, I'm in construction. And so when I see the word framed, I don't think of a picture frame. When I think of frame, I think of 2x4s, right? When God made the world, he didn't put a little silhouette frame around it and put a little gold gilding on it. When God made the world, he started at the bottom, and framing, it requires a blueprint. It requires a clear direction. Framing has a plan. It's not chaotic at all. Framing needs to be completed from the ground up. And this is how God started. He spoke the world into existence. And we don't do this much, but I have a couple videos this morning, and you're free to play that the first video on creation. I was going to read, and I was like, there's videos all set up for this. So Genesis chapter 1, and you can go ahead and play that.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
And so, in Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It says that we understand this. I underlined that, understand. It's more than just a belief. It's more than hope alone, it's an understanding. This framing of the worlds by God's voice is first a belief that we have to wrestle this, right? I mean, when to understand this framing of the worlds, it has to be a belief, and we wrestle with this. And then as we grow, we grasp this as fact, and then it becomes that we understand. And we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. It is faith that allows us to understand this, that God spoke the world, and as we know it, it became into existence. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And today, we can look at evidence in archaeology and science, and we can find reason and logic to believe and to understand that God spoke the world into existence. But without faith, so many in our world today cannot understand this. They don't get it. It takes faith to understand that God framed the world through his spoken word. No matter what the evidence says, without faith in God, you end up believing and understanding that all of this beauty and order and color that we see daily came from a random explosion. Never, ever has any order come out of an explosion. Never has. And yet the world would want you to believe that all of that we see and all we experience comes out of an explosion. Only those without faith in God can believe that order can come out of chaos. But by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. This, brothers and sisters, is what we understand. And I have a few scenery pictures from some mountains around the world, and I'm going to read some scripture verse while that's playing. So you can start the video, the second video. Psalms 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Psalm 147, 7-9. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise to the harp of our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains, who gives to the beasts its food and to the young ravens that cry. Psalm 36, 5-6. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains, and your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. Job 28, 9-11. He puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountains at the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eyes see every precious thing. He dams up the streams from trickling. What is hidden, he brings forth to light. And Isaiah 40, 25-31. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts, the stars, by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The next steps from hope to faith is to your testimony. And what is your testimony? How do you live your life? Do you live your life unashamed for Christ? Do you allow your faith to guide and direct you in all your activities? Do you recognize the impact of your testimony to all those around you? Are you purposeful in passing your faith to the next generation? Please remember that your testimony may be the only Jesus that a stranger sees. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now is the time to apply the scripture, for the end of your faith is coming. Did you know that? The end of your faith is coming. And you can turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, looking at verses 3 to 9. And I want you to look for some things in these verses. In verse 3, it begins with hope. And we find faith in verse 5. And verses 6 and 7 is our testimony, if you will. And then watch for the end of our faith. 1 Peter 1. 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The end of your faith is coming. Are you ready? When we dwell with God eternally, we will have no need of faith. Our faith will have ended when we join with Christ in eternity. Let's pray. Dear God, we again are challenged by your word this morning. God, do we live this? God, do we recognize that others don't see you when they see a tree and when they see a bird and when they see a flower? God, others see you when they see us, when they see me. Help us to reflect your love and your care Help us to be a good and faithful witness of who you are. God, I pray that the testimony of these of us, of these people here who have gathered this morning, I pray that our testimony would remain strong and true to you and to who you are. I pray that the lives of those around us who we rub shoulders with at work and at Walmart and the places that we go, God, I pray that we would be able to be seen as you are. Pray that we would be able to connect the dots of hope to faith to testimony that's laid out for us in this scripture. That it would propel us and strengthen us to live even more for you, God. So that 4 and 5 generations from this place do not know our name, but that they would know your name. Help us to accomplish that task. In Jesus' name, amen. Would the chorister please come and lead us in a closing song?